Open your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we will start. One of the most recent well-known deceptions was done by the none other than former Vice President Al Gore, who, of course, you guys all know that he's the one invented the internet, right? And we are all blessed by his ingenious invention that we are enjoying it. And he made, I'm being sarcastic, he claimed that he invented the internet. And he also be the one who introduced the movie called Inconvenient Truth. It's a documentary, so-called documentary, Inconvenient Truth, which in reality is the biggest worldwide sucker scam known as global warming. The recent hackers, I'll read the article to you, apparently Russian, got hold of the over 1,000 emails from climatologists at the Climatic Research Unit in East Anglia University in Great Britain. They published them on the web. They used a non-secure but anonymous FTP server. And they got hold of a correspondence in which researchers state that they have been using tricks to hide the data that conflict with the anthropogenic global warming theory. That's a fancy word for the man-made pollution that supposedly warm up the atmosphere around the Earth. Also, they were using peer review to exclude the papers that would contradict with theirs. In my opinion, that is a very, very inconvenient truth. Senator Dianne Boxer from California, she demanded the truth. Not about this global warming, but she wanted to know how in the world this email got leaked out. Such a damaging email. Only liberal senator would demand such a nonsense comment over truth. In a way, it's ironic, don't you think? Al Gore's money-making, major money-making, fame-making project, this global warming project, has been debunked by the very internet he supposedly invented. Before we go any further, is there anyone who never lied before? Anyone who never lied before? Would you please stand up? I would love to chat with you. I want to know the secret of never lying. Since everybody lied before, one time or another, I believe this study applied to everyone. This morning, we are going to look at the reason for lying. Reason for lying, followed by the characteristics of lying or liars. In some of the deceptions in the Bible, God did not punish. In other words, almost it seems justified. How can it be? And then fourthly, the consequences of lying. And last, in my opinion, the most important thing, how not to lie. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close another year 2009, now we are standing at the doorstep of year 2010. Let us keenly aware that your coming to get us out of this world is one step closer, one day closer. And the world's resistance against you and your people is going to be much more stronger than ever before. And each day they are trying to outdo themselves to show their hatred against you and against your people. While we're living in this world, let us be the one who reflect our Savior, Jesus Christ, his light, that we may be the example. We may be the living Bible for them to read by the power of the Holy Spirit. First, teach us not to lie, not to be the one who will deceive others. Let us be the one who will speak the truth in love. Lord, we pray for the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus, that he may do the things that please you. And we also pray for our troops around the world, especially in Afghanistan and Iraq and wherever our troops are in harm's way. We're asking you to protect them. You're willing to bring them back to their families quickly, safe and sound. We also lift up the Border Patrol agent, the Sheriff Department deputies, and the Police Department police officers and firefighters around these communities, asking you to protect them as they protect our lives and our homes. You stretch out your strong arms around them, and you be their shield, you be their backup. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting at the verse 1 of chapter 3 in Genesis, please. Now we are going to look at the reason for the lying. Reason for lying. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." You might want to underline, "Nor shall you touch it." That is not what the Lord said. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, and knowing good and evil. Folks, when we studied the pride a couple of weeks ago, I quoted this very verse. And I also mentioned that first sin recorded in the Bible is a pride. And Satan used the method lying to bring out the pride from the first man and woman's heart. Whenever we do not understand the Word of God properly, like Eve did not, we have bullseyes on our forehead from Satan to be deceived. Ever since we can remember, we were taught not to lie, correct? Our parents, our teachers, and our people around us told us not to lie because it's not good. The problem we have that is because our wicked, sinful nature, guess what? We like to lie. We enjoy lying. And we all love to make lie because it makes us look better, sound better, or even simply authenticate the previous lies. And to get us out of a tight corner, or just because we could. See, it's been said a little lie is like much like a little pregnancy. Either you're pregnant, you ain't, right? The only thing is that besides that, as time goes by, it grows bigger. Some say that, well, it's not a terrible lie, it's just a white lie. Since when did we start to categorize lies with a color? If that's the case, all the lies the politicians do in Washington, D.C. would be total black. Because they cannot really say it's a white lie. There is no such a thing as a little lie or big lie. If it's not truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, it's a lie. Well, some people might say, well, it's a lie and it's a deception. And you may say, well, that this word, that deception, sounds so harsh. Well, it could be a little exaggeration here and a little stretch of truth there and editorial comment now and then. Wouldn't that be a better way to describe it? Like I said, if it's not a truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, it's not a lie. It's not a truth. What if you have a 99% truth and 1% lie? Would that be truth? No, it's not. It's not easy to tell the truth all the time, but that pleased the Lord. It's a good thing for us to, it's a good thing for us that God does not allow our nose to grow like it happened to Pinocchio. Remember that fairy tale Pinocchio story? Whenever he lied, his nose grew. Can you imagine if our nose grew? Each time we lie, up an inch at a time, we have to have a brace in the front. And whenever we turn, everybody had to duck. And instead of using golf club, we can just use our nose. Whack, and instead of four, nose! See, it comes from the lack of trustworthiness. Lack of trustworthiness brings out lies from our heart. You with me? Lack of trustworthiness brings out lies from our heart. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Move to right and go to verse chapter 25, verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. What a description for lying. Folks, the biggest reason for people lying is a fear of other people. Isn't that true? The biggest reason why we lie is a fear of other people. People lie because of their reputation. Christians are no different in this matter. We have a tendency to think that we have to make others think that we are more spiritual when we are not. So what do? We lie. Good example is like some people would say, well, I've been praying until 2 o'clock this morning. Why do they emphasize 2 o'clock in the morning? And who cares if whether you pray or not? That's between you and God. And some people say that, well, I was having a devotion at 4 in the morning and reading Psalm 119 for 5 times. Just in case you don't know what the Psalm 19 is like, it has 176 verses. It takes a good 20 minutes to read the whole thing. Well, I doubt that he actually read Psalm 119 5 times in one sitting. Let's remember this. Reputation is what people think about us, and it only lasts as long as they like us. Isn't that true? Yep. Reputation is what other people think about us, and it lasts as long as they like you. But character is what God knows about you while you try to hide any of your negative things from other people's eyes. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Are you guys awake? What happened to the rest of the people? They got stuck in the airport terminal? Chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deed, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Emphasis is on do not lie to one another. So next thing we are going to look at is let your yes be yes, no be no. James 5, verse 12, please. James 5, 12. James 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear by either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Since we are studying about lying, we need to become promise keepers, not just promise makers. Once you make a promise with someone, whether it's with the children or your friend, your family members, or strangers, or God, do everything within your power to keep that promise. Please. We ought to be a man and woman of the word for the sake of the glory of God. If we don't keep our promise as a Christian, how in the world do others believe that what we say about Jesus Christ? Whenever we don't keep our promises with the unbelievers, then much less we have a credential with them. While I'm on the road, let me talk about this thing. Keeping time. Keeping time. My daddy taught me this when I was little. It's okay for you to wait for somebody and end up wasting time. But it's not okay for them to wait for you and wasting their time. He drilled it into my head. If you have a meeting with an unbeliever and you show up, let's say half an hour late, then do you think when the time occurred, the occasion occurred, you try to speak to that unbeliever about Jesus Christ, how faithful he is, and you were about half an hour late? Do you think that person will trust you for your testimony? Maybe one time they will let you go get by with that, but time after time you show up late. I'm sure in your mind you know a few people who show up consistently late for you. It's not just one time, and it's time after time they are late. If you have promised with someone a particular time, be there on time. Okay? Be there on time. Don't let your hairstyle or makeup be an excuse to be late, ladies. I know I just crossed the line there, but I need to say that. Some people say, well, I had a stepdaughter who would make anybody to wait because her hair is, one hair is out of line. Folks, it is important for you to keep the appointment on time. You may wonder, yo, JK, why are you so hot under the collar for this subject? Listen, our God is never late, right? Our God is never late. He's always on time. As the follower of Jesus Christ, should we follow his example or the worldly example? By the way, nowadays there is something they call so-called showing up fashionably late. Have you ever heard that word? Fashionably late. Here's my definition, therefore, that fashionably late, it is a lousy, ungodly, lame excuse. Not caring about that, the other person's time. If you are late all the time, you're thinking that it's okay for you to be late and make others wait for you because you think you are important. Guess what that is? It's pride. And it's a sin. You agree? You agree? Okay. Anybody disagree? Raise your hand. Never mind. Folks, our Lord hates lying. Our God cannot and will not lie because of his holiness and righteousness. Numbers chapter 23, please. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, will he not make it good? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're in the back of New Testament, Philemon, and Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. They buy two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who has fled to refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. By God's own nature and on his own character and attribute, he cannot lie. As believers of Jesus Christ, truthful and righteous God, we are told not to lie in Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Exodus 20, second book of the Old Testament. Chapter 20, verse 16. What does it say? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It means don't lie. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 6, rather. Verse 16. We went over this several times already. These six things the Lord hates, yet seven are the abomination to him. A proud look. What is the next one? Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised a wicked plan, feet that are swift in the running to evil. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. There we go again. And one who sowed a discord among the brethren. As I said before, the Lord hates lying, and he deals with the liars with a judgment. How do I know? Proverbs 12. Chapter 12, verse 22, which we memorize. Whenever the Bible talks about abomination, he talks about judgment. Lying lips, verse 22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, and those who deal truthfully are his delight. Abomination always brings God's judgment, and one of the clearest judgments of God for liars is being exposed. When your lies and when my lies are exposed, it is an embarrassing thing, isn't it? Think about what happened to Jimmy Swagger and Jim Baker. More recently, Ted Haggard. He preached against the gay and lesbian lifestyle, and he was the one who was involved in the gay lifestyle. As a matter of fact, to be exact, gay prostitute. People who are Christian and live in deception bring disgrace to our Lord God. Let's look at the characteristics of liars. Number one, they love gossiping. They love gossiping. Proverbs 17:4. Proverbs 17:4. Am I going too fast? Yes, Mark tried to say that just to harass me, so I ignore him. The evildoer gives heed to false lips. Liars listen eagerly to spiteful tongue. People who often lie love to hear gossip that gives them false higher ground than others. They don't seek truth, and they don't try to stop gossip. They love to hear that kind of thing. Second characteristic of the liars is that they boast about what they do with exaggeration and deception. They boast about what they do with exaggeration and deception. Proverbs 27, please. Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what day may bring forth. Let another man praise you then, and not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. And Galatians 6, please. Galatians 6. Right before Ephesians in the New Testament. For if anyone think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If you take out exaggeration and boast out of lying, that there's nothing much left. Our tongues have a natural tendency to boast. James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You there? Even so, the tongue is a little member of both, a member and boasts great things. See how great forest a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our member that is defiled the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by what? Hell. It's not from God. Third characteristic of the liars is that they don't live as they claim. They don't live as they claim. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If you say that we have a fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's simple. And then chapter 2 in 1 John, verse 4. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Many people live in deception. Many people think that they are Christian when they are not. Remember what the Bible says. I said many times at the end of the service. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are not a Christian at all. Where do I base on that? Bible, John chapter 3. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. It's not what I say, it's what Jesus said. So, if you are not born again Christian, then you should know better. And you should accept the fact you are not a Christian and you will not go to heaven. But they said, well, I know what the Bible says, and then what do they do? But this is how I interpret the Bible. Guess what? It doesn't matter how you interpret the Bible. The Bible says what it says and what it means. If you are not right with God, it is my prayer and it's my hope that you be right with God today. Let's look at the deceptions in the Bible that were not punished. There are several lies mentioned in the Bible that is not punished. It's almost like God is justifying those lies. He tells us in the Ten Commandments, do not bear the false witness to your neighbor. At the same time, he kind of winked at another kind of lie. How can it be? Let's make four examples. Number one, in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob, by the encouragement of his mother, Rebecca, and he walked into the father's room with the food. He pretended that he was Esau, the man from the field. I don't know what the man from the field smelled like, probably like a dirt. He probably threw this few dirt on his head and had put the goat's hair on his arms, let the father touch him, let him eat the food, and give him blessing. God blessed Jacob and make him to be the patriarch of Israel. So we don't see the actual punishment on the spot. However, he got the punishment. He had to run away from his brother Esau for 20 years. And not only that, while he was away from his family, he never got to see his mother when she died. And then, for the 20 years, he was being deceived by his uncle, Laban, who was a whole lot more con artist than Jacob himself. Yes, there was a punishment. However, we don't see that thing immediately. How about this? In Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, told Hebrew midwives, when you have a Jewish woman delivered a son, you kill their child, but if they have a daughter, let them live. What did the Hebrew's midwife do? They came up with a lie, flat out lies. They told Pharaoh, well, by the time we get there, this Hebrew woman's very strong, and they quickly deliver the baby and put them away somewhere. We cannot find them. We cannot kill the son. So they preserved the children. And a little bit later, next following verse says, God blessed them so they could have their own children. They just lie. God bless them. How do you explain that? Thirdly, in Joshua chapter 1, you remember this. Prostitute Rahab, she received two Israeli spies who came to the Jericho. When she found that they were from Israel, she opened her home and she kept them hidden and also told a lie to the soldiers of Jericho that they are not there anymore and went that way when they are inside the home, her home. You know what God did? God blessed her family and kept them alive. And then he even included her in the lineage of the who? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Is God winking at lying? Let me throw one more stone in that water you have. 1 Samuel chapter 20, when the King Saul asked his son Jonathan about whereabouts of the David. Where is the son of Jesse? And what did this Jonathan say? Why he went to Bethlehem to be with the family when David was running around, escaped from his father's hand. There are many occasions that we find that godly believer lies and they were not punished by God for their deception. It's hard to explain this to the young believers, hard to explain to the unbelievers. Just as God used Satan in his will, the Lord used the free will of man and woman and their mindset to deceive, to accomplish his will. You with me? He allowed humans to do whatever they do. If they choose to deceive, he used that to accomplish his will. That doesn't mean that the Lord is endorsing the individual people's lie. But because of his infinite wisdom, he prepared the next step, next event according to his will. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? Do you want me to explain again? Let's look at the consequences of lying. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. Have you ever been challenged by the unbelievers? They come up with these verses and you're kind of thinking, where did they come up with this kind of thing? This would be the kind of thing. Did God wink at some of these people's lying? Now you have an answer. Okay? Verse 19, the truthful lips shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. Folks, deception and your lies will not last forever. It will come to its end sooner or later, and it will be ugly when it's revealed. Okay? Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. In other words, liars will be punished. Liars will be punished. He will judge them according to what they have done. Proverbs 21:6. Proverbs 21:6. Getting treasures by lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. The people in the Wall Street should read that thing. Maybe the Secretary of Treasury should read that. Amen. Yeah, you got that right. Those who make money at any cost, including the hurting people's lives, should take a heed. So let's sum it up in one subject. How not to lie. How not to lie. First one, when we love others like ourselves, we know that we love ourselves, correct? When we love others like ourselves, we would not lie to harm them. We would not lie to harm them. Romans 13:8, please. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. If we love other people like ourselves, we would not harm them with our deception. Second thing, speak the truth. Is it comfortable? No, not all the time. Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for you we are member of one another. And some of you are thinking, hey, pastor, in truth, you are ugly. Should I tell you that again? No, you don't need to tell me again. I already know. Third application, be on alert. Be on alert because our sinful nature always want to lie. Why do we lie? To make us look good, sound good. Because we are concerned about our own reputation. Matthew 26. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Last one, but this is an important one. Last application, walk in the spirit by following the word of God. Walk in the spirit by following the word of God. Psalm 119:9. The longest chapter. How many verses? 176. Now you know. There's a Bible trivia. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man clean his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. This is the reason why we memorize verses every week. One more verse, Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. I say then, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. We're not going to have a last song. As I said before, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart as the Savior and Lord, and if you're not born again Christian, you will not go to heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are. That's what the Bible says. And don't come up with, I know what the Bible says, but Bible says what it means, it means what it says. Whenever you put the but against the Bible, you're telling God is a liar. And what did we just learn? God does not lie. If He doesn't lie, guess who lies? We do. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't say that I'm going to do it tomorrow. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, so that you may be born again Christian, so that you can have eternal life in heaven, raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, including that gentleman, would you please, all of you, to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. My sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Please come into my heart. I am born again. Welcome to the family of God.